What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Everything I do it to be the best at it. You don't want to squab, you don't really want to.
I won my first fight at 8 years old. I've been doing this show my whole life. I feel like I'm supposed to be here.
My dad got cancer. And when he pushes me, I push myself.
No one can stop my shine. Ready to smoke anybody they put in front of me.
I wanted to show the world I deserve to be known as the king of LA.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with you, Brody? With the virtual handshake.
I'm going to tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want All the Smoke.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. We got a very special guest today. Someone I'm a big fan of. I'm a huge Mike Tyson fan. And this dude, from the day he stepped on the scene, reminded me of just a smaller version. He's an animal, that jumping left hook knocks plenty of people out. Man, welcome to the show, Tank Davis, man. Thanks for coming in, bro.
Thank y'all for having me.
No doubt. Big fans here. Love what you're doing. You got a big fight coming up, Halloween, on Showtime pay-per-view. You ready for that?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready, you know, training each and every day just to, you know, put on a great performance. You know, this is my first pay-per-view fight, so I'm definitely ready.
You get that pay-per-view money might be a little different, I heard. I don't know shit about it, but I heard that pay-per-view money a little different.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, I was at your last fight against Gamboa, and I seen you go to work. A lot of stuff went on. If I actually, when he kind of tore his Achilles, I kind of said something to Steve at the time. I said, "Man, I think he hurt himself," and I knew he was going to take advantage of him. How do you feel about your performance that fight?
I watched it. I watched a little bit of it. You know, I probably watched it a couple of weeks later, and I turned it off. I think that wasn't my best performance, so that's why now I moved my training camp to, you know, Las Vegas so I could be able to put on a better performance. You know, I think that was bad for my fans. You know, the output that I fought and things like that. So I'm definitely coming back stronger and better, you know, and this definitely, you know, a make up for my last fight.
Us as athletes, though, we understand, bro, because, like, a win is a win. You know what I'm saying? We didn't play games or we didn't play like shit and still was able to win by 1 or 2 points. So a win is a win as a professional athlete. So we understand. We go back to the drawing board and come back better. So, bro, we're going to be fans. We supporting you, dog.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What is it like trying, like you said, you've moved your camp to Vegas. What is it like trying to focus in this day of, you know, Jack and I kind of caught the tail end of it in our NBA careers, but this social media world is fucking insane. So what is it like trying to manage all the outside noise knowing that you're preparing each and every fight to be your biggest fight you've ever had?
It's really not. I was always like coming up, period. I was always that kid that know when the time to buckle down and things like that. Like, I know when, you know, when it's time to get serious. You know, I know how to focus, you know, no matter what's going on around me. That's what make me so special and why I came so far and, you know, things like that. Me coming up, I had a lot of people older than me was already in the streets and things like that. So, and I watched my coach and them tell them, give them advices and things like that, and they still done it and they wind up getting killed. So I think that was, you know, the best part, you know, of my, of me, because, you know, me just be able to, you know, stay focused, you know, and send it as a young age. So when it's time like this now, you know, I could be able to stay focused no matter what's going on outside the world, on the outside of the world. But once I'm locked in, I'm locked in.
Absolutely. You mentioned it a little bit, obviously losing people along the way. Rough childhood in Baltimore. Take us back to your childhood and what the scene was like and what actually inspired you to get into boxing.
Coming up, normal, just an inner city kid, you know, mother, father was on drugs and things like that. And, you know, my mother left us in the house by ourselves, you know, and protective service, they came, grabbed us and things like that, and they split us up, you know, and once my grandma fought to get us back, you know, and, I was always the aggressive one because I was younger, you know, so I was much more aggressive than my oldest brother, you know. And, I was always fighting a lot, you know. I used to fight for my brother, you know, because we was the new kids on the block. And we was brought up under our grandma. We ain't have, like, our mother and father. So it was, like, stuff that we had, like, Reeboks and people had, like, kids had Jordans and Nikes and things like that. So I always used to fight. I used to fight in school. So one time I was fighting in front of my house, and my uncle so happened to walk out the door, and he seen me fighting. So he took me to the boxing gym. You know,
how old were you? Not to cut you off. How old were you at that age?
I probably was about, I want to say like 7.
Oh, damn.
I was 7.
Early.
Yeah, it must have been a flawless victory.
Right.
Yeah. So we was fighting and things like that. So he took me to the gym. And when I was going to the gym, I was getting, it wasn't really about the fighting or boxing at that time. It was really about, you know, me getting that love at the gym that I wasn't getting at home, because my grandma, she was moving around too much and things like that, so she didn't have time for us. So I just got that love. I got that father figure. I had other kids in the gym, like brothers and things like that, so I was always fighting in the gym too. So I just grew up and, you know, just they start being family, you know, and I was winning a lot, you know, because I was still fighting in school. So it was times that, you know, when we were fighting in school, they'd make us spar in the gym. Like, we got to fight the big kids in the gym. I was getting so good that they was telling me, like, nah, we can't do that with you. You just going to have to stay outside, like, stay out the gym. You know, so
enough.
That's how it was.
They're not with you no more, huh?
Yeah, that's when I used to just cry and things like that. I just love the gym. Like, I used to get out of school at 2:30, and I wouldn't even go home. I'd go straight to the gym, and the gym don't open until, like, 4:35 o'clock. So I used to sleep outside the gym before it opened. They used to, like, it was a daycare right next door, so they used to call the police on me, like, this kid is out here homeless and things like that. But
you just couldn't wait to get in the gym.
Yeah, I just couldn't wait to get to the gym. Or I used to beat the people that opened the gym up, like, even the daycare people. I used to beat them there. Like, I was working there or something. Like, yeah. I just loved it.
That's what's up, man. You found a sense of, you know, family and home, and you adapted to it.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of similar, too. My mom was around. My mom worked a lot, so my grandmother raised me, too. And I know what basketball did for my life. You know what I'm saying? It took me a lot of places to change my whole family life. I wouldn't be able to do the things or have the life I live if it wasn't for basketball. And you know, I appreciate the game. Is boxing the same way for you? Like, if it wasn't for boxing, you seen a lot of things, was able to do a lot of things for different people because of boxing?
Yeah, boxing definitely, you know, played a big part in my life. Like, if it wasn't for boxing, I don't know where I'd be at, you know, because, you know, ain't too many people big in my family the people that, you know, I started with in the gym, you know, they eventually got killed in the streets. I couldn't help a lot of people. I used to come outside and see, like, people driving cars and wonder, because my grandmother had a van, but besides that, nobody else had a car. So I used to wonder, like, am I going to be able to drive when I get older and things like that? So boxing definitely be a big part of my life if it is my life and things like that, because it helped you, you know, calm down and challenge your anger somewhere else, like inside the gym instead of going outside the door and just doing anything, you know. So, and where I'm from is a small city, so yeah, it's easy to get in trouble there. So if you could focus in Baltimore, you could focus anywhere.
So you developed a real close personal friendship and almost mentor, father figure friendship with your coach and trainer, Calvin. Did you meet him early on, or what part of your what age did you meet him at?
I met Calvin around probably when I first started boxing. But Calvin, I used to train with Calvin, Calvin's son. Calvin's son started me off. His son is one of the guys that, you know, got killed too. So his son was training me, and we had another guy named Ramon Manley. That's who Cal was, like, highly on, because he was winning everything. He was from Baltimore, so he was the only one going through D.C., everywhere, beating people, like, top-notch people. He actually, another one that got killed. So, him having Ramon and his son was training me, so they used to always go back home, and, like, his son used to always tell Calvin about me. But Calvin was like, I was too young. So he was like, I'm not worrying about him right now. I'm worrying about Ramon, because he's traveling. So Ramon was winning everything, and Ramon got locked up for robbery or something. He tried to rob somebody and wound up getting caught. So he was gone for about like 5 years. So now it's me. Now I'm 10 years old, and I'm start winning everything, like going places and things like that. So me and Calvin grew a bond. We grew a bond first by me just winning, us always together. So now I start going to his house. I start sleeping over his house and watching boxing. He used to make me watch boxing like till like 3 a.m. And I'd be falling asleep. He'd tap me, wake me up, make sure that, you know, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And that's what he always taught me. And that's what I go by till this day.
That sounds similar. It sounds a lot like, you know, obviously Mike Tyson and Customato. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where he found that mentor, father figure that believed in him and made him believe in himself, and it turned out beautiful.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's my
game.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million black businesses initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Now, you've spoken a lot already in this interview about, I mean, we know your career, you're undefeated. You've obviously thrown hands your whole life. Is there anybody from the second grade on who's ever got you?
One time, in a street fight, I was fighting. I used to always fight a lot till I got a little older. But coming probably like to like the sixth grade to the ninth grade, I used to fight a lot. So one time we was fighting this group of boys, and my uncle called me. So when my uncle called me, I ran to him and was like, "We up here like fighting." So I had to hurry up and try. To get back. So when I hurry up and got back, my two homeboys said I ranked on them. So they jumped me. So when they jumped me. So the next day I'm telling my uncle, cause my uncle's staying with me now at my grandma's crib. So I tell my uncle like, these boys jumped me. So I'm going to school and I'ma knock them out like that. So the people might call you from school.
You gave them a heads up.
Yeah, I gave them a heads up. So as soon as I walk in the building and I'm going towards the class, I see one of the guys. So when I see one of the guys, he started talking, and I just took my, like, when I'm mad, I'm real aggressive. So when I seen him, I just take my bag off and I just hit him in the mouth. But he actually beat me, but I started to fight off. So I was like, I don't care. Like, like it won't happen again. You know it. Like, and I'm smaller than everybody, so coming to school, so yeah. So once that first punch went off, I ain't really care if you whoop me after that. I got my leg off.
I gotta get my leg back, goddamn right. I gotta get my leg back.
Yeah.
So you're obviously from Baltimore, rep Baltimore to the fullest. They're very proud of you, awarding you the key to the city in a parade. Did a coin flip at the Ravens game. Tell me what Baltimore means to you.
Baltimore means a lot, you know, I don't think I had this mindset if it wasn't for Baltimore, because Baltimore is a tough city. You know, if you can make it through Baltimore, you know, you can make it through anywhere. If you know how to move through Baltimore, you can move through it anywhere, you know. So it just gave me that mindset, I think, you know, not saying it's all bad, but I'm from the inner city, so I see stuff daily and things like that. So it just gave me that. I wouldn't be me if I wasn't from Baltimore. It gave me that personality. You know what the saying? It was something like, I forget the saying. It's like what you've been through, the city make you or break you. Like, I wouldn't be me if I wouldn't even move the way I move if it wasn't for the inner city. And
what you've been through makes you who you are.
Tank, to come to date, toughest fight in your mind up to this point in your career?
I think this is the toughest, you know, opponent up to date because, you know, he have, I want to say he's he had 37 wins and, you know, one loss and things like that. He a four-time world champion. So he's a tough Mexican, so I'm a believer he's going to bring his best. So I think this definitely the toughest opponent.
He's busy with them hands. Most satisfying knockout up to your point, up to this point in your career?
I want to say Pedraza because it was my first world title. You know, he was another undefeated Puerto Rican, so I think that was my toughest knockout.
Any boxers you look up to?
Not really look up to, but, you know, take pointers from them as Lamont Peterson, Anthony Peterson, Ty Barnett, Floyd Mayweather for sure, and Adrian Broner.
Mm-hmm. Adrian Broner, yes, sir. Hey, a lot of people compare you to Lil Tyson. You did an IG live with Tyson recently. What was that like?
Doing the IG live with Tyson, when we first started talking, I seen that, you know, he still got that anger built up in him. Like he been through something, he's still trying to relieve it, find a way to relieve it. That's what I got from it, you know. But he overcame a lot. You know, what I got from it, I don't know really for sure, but what I got from it, you know, that, you know, he put his life into boxing, you know, for belts and things like that. You know, and it really doesn't mean nothing to him now. You know, he rather, you know, fight for the money, whereas though he could be more, you know, stable and things like that. That's what I got from it. You know, I'm probably wrong, but that's what I got from it. That's what, you know, I was looking
at. We all fight some demons, though. We all fight inner demons, you know, not just Mike, not just anybody. You know what I'm saying? We all fighting something in us in certain parts of life. But at the end of the day, like you said, I didn't see Mike on a lot of his shows. I watch his podcast, too. And Mike, you know, and that's just a part of being a man and growing. You know, I can imagine me playing basketball, you know, and how physical the game is. And I can imagine boxing, you know, walking away from basketball, my body feels different. You know, I still have that adrenaline to want to go play and still be physical, but I got to channel that now because my life is different. You know what I'm saying? I know that's not even compared to how boxing is from fighting somebody for 10, 15 years and having just all of a sudden just not. So, you know, I commend guys like you and Mike and boxers, period, who are able to go in the ring, try to tear somebody out, head off, but then come out and be a good model citizen, somebody that people look up to.
Yeah, it's definitely hard, you know, just training, period, losing weight. Just everything, you know, like evolve with boxing, you know, leading up to the big fights, even the fight that, you know, the lights, the crowd and the opponent, the judges and things like that, you know, it just, you gotta be a strong person to be
Absolutely.
Able to deal with it.
And then that's not even to mention all, like I said earlier, all the outside distractions, you know what I mean? People trying to come in your circle, females trying to pull fast ones. So it's a whole lot of, you know, that's one thing I want to try to gain my sons with. You know, my sons are 11 years old, but this is a whole different beast out here, just the way the world is ran and how it's, you know, the games are played. And to be able to keep a tight circle and be able to stay focused on the task at hand is always, man, definitely a hats off. Mike also mentioned that you're his favorite current boxer. How does that make you feel when you have a legend, you know, speaking that highly on you?
It felt great. You know, I'm not far on far as like, you know, big, you know, so it's still like I'm still starting out and things like that. So just having him, you know, saying things like one of the greats, and I remember when, you know, they called the greats out. I think it was after a fight or something, and they was calling like they called Mike Tyson out, they called Holyfield. And it was somebody else, I think Lennox Lewis. And when they called Mike Tyson, the crowd went crazy. So just having him just say, like, I'm one of his favorite fighters, it means a lot. You know, it means that I'm definitely on the right track.
Mike is, you know, since we're talking about Mike, he's training to get back in the ring. What are your thoughts about him and Roy Jones potentially fighting at the end of November?
Roy better not do that.
Yeah.
That's what I said, bro.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to definitely be crazy. I'm definitely going to be watching.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
July 14, 2014, you took a picture with Floyd, signed your phone case, and said future champ. What was that like? Like I said, another experience where, you know, an all-time great is giving you praise. What was that like back in 2014 and then everything to come full circle now that, you know, you're under Mayweather Promotions?
I always live in the moment. So around that time, I really didn't, you know, really wasn't. I was grateful to be in, you know, that his presence. But far as, like, from just leading up to me signing to with Mayweather Promotion, I was saying that I was going to, you know, even before he went to jail, you know, I was saying that I was signing with the only promoter I would ever sign with was, you know, Mayweather Promotions. And before that, I was saying, me and my coach, Calvin Ford, we was talking about signing with Al before we signed with Floyd, and everything was playing out as, you know, we were saying it. So it just, I feel like I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right things. I have right people in my corner and things like that. And, you know, I'm undefeated, so we're doing the right thing.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's my game.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
How's your relationship grown though? Like since you with him, I know like y'all was cool before y'all actually start doing business together. But how has your relationship grown? You know, since, because I seen him at the fight here in Atlanta, your last fight. I seen him in the ring with that. I can't remember what kind it was, but it was like a $20,000 jacket he had on, which is all glass.
Oh, yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
But how's y'all relationship grown, you know, since y'all started doing business together?
Our relationship grown a lot, you know, just at first I didn't really know him like that, you know, so it was like, I'm, like if I don't really know you, I shy away from you, like I'm really quiet and things like that. But it's like a father and son bond, I would say, like because he has sons that you know, don't box, and I box, and I was around him a lot of times, you know, when he was traveling and when he first signed me, you know, so I was with him probably like 24/7. So he just, you know, he more hands-on and things like that. Like he be, like you saying at the fight, he was in the corner, you know, he was down there like he was my coach or something, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, he was in it.
He was in the ring, you know, so.
Yeah.
I think that's best for me, I think, because it gave me that advantage over a lot of other fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel any pressure? You, like you said, you pay-per-view now. You know what I'm saying? It's a big fight for you. You're fighting a four-time champ. Do you feel any pressure that, about this fight than any other fight?
I have pressure, but I say that it's always I challenge it. I make it a good pressure. You know, I don't let it, you know, take a toll on me because I seen a lot of fighters slip up, you know, because they let the pressure, you know, weigh them down and things like that, you know. So far as the only pressure with me that I say like I have big on my shoulder that the performance that I want to put on,
yeah.
You know, I want to give
style,
the
right.
best performance I can mm-hmm. possibly have, you know, that night because of my first pay-per-view. Boxing was off for some months and things like that, so I definitely want to give the fans, you know, that money worth.
I got a saying that I got, and it goes, I make love to pressure. When they gave me the ball in the four quarters and they thought it was pressure, I made love to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's basically what we do.
A lot of people don't have that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people crumble under pressure. Yeah. So if you can, you know, deal with, you know, controlled it and things like that under pressure, then you special. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have three sons. I don't know how many kids my co-host has, but we're fathers. You had your first daughter in 2018. How did that change your life?
It changed my life by, you know, just being more patient. You know, I seem to, you know, rush things before I had a child and things like that. And, you know, just going through it, just seeing her mother, you know, in that pain and stuff like that, you know, it just made me appreciate, you know, her more and things like that. And far as a person, it changed me by, you know, having more patience. But far as a fighter, I'm always going to be a fighter. So I know how to turn it on and off around her. You know, when I'm with her, I'm more soft. But when I'm, like, in the ring or outside, I'm more, you know, harder.
Now, what about when she turns 15, 16, 17, 18, wants to start dating? What tank is she going to get?
Just, I'll be more understandable, understand her more, like talk. I want her to be able to come talk to me before she'll talk to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be that father. I don't want her to shy away from me. You know,
right.
I don't want to be hard on her. But she know it. I want her to know that, you know, it's always right and wrong and, you know, discipline.
Yeah, I got five girls, bro, so I understand. And, you know, I always wanted to be a point where we had an understanding where you can come talk to me about everything, anything. Don't feel like you can't talk to me about it, you know what I'm saying? So that's a great way to look at it. But being away from your daughter, training during this pandemic, how has it been?
It's been hard being away from my daughter, you know. She actually here, she sleep. But just, you know, being away from it, like, because this is my first time being in camp so long and far away, so just being away from it, it was a little touchy, but I know what I'm up, you know, up against. You know, I know that I got pay-per-view. You know, I know I'm fighting a tough opponent, so really I know how to lock in. I know how to shy away from everything. I know how to understand what I'm into. You know, that's what's best part about me. Like, I know I fool around, but when it's time to lock in, you know, it's time to lock in.
Daddy got to put food
she
on the table.
She here now.
Yeah.
That's another thing, you know. So
You mentioned it earlier, but you've had a tough time making 130 your past couple fights. Has your diet changed or the fact that your training camp has been longer or almost two times as long as your normal training camps? How has that played into, because you said you're sitting comfortable right now, you won't have a problem getting down to that 130 on fight night.
Camp been, you know, I don't think it's going to be a hard time for me to make weight. You know, as far as the bubble wise, I don't know about the bubble. I never been there, but they said that it's trash. So, but now I feel like I can make it. I'm making it easily. I'm walking around close to weight. You know, if I wanted to make weight 2 days from now, I can make it and things like that. You know, I know people is definitely worrying about me making weight, and that's the big factor. But and it's a penalty. So if I don't know what it is, but I know it's some money involved. So
you don't want to find out.
Yeah. So I'm definitely making weight.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
So obviously, since your last fight, the world has changed. Not only with the pandemic, social justice, the whole nine, we're somewhat slowly but surely starting to come back to some sort of normalcy. This will be the first fight back with fans. This will be your first fight on pay-per-view. Tell me what it's going to be like to know that you're going to put on a show for the first time in front of fans.
I'm one of the person that I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful that it's me that's, you know, the first person that's bringing it back. I'm just soaking it all in. I'm just appreciative. You know, that's why I'm working hard each and every day, you know, so I could be able to put on a great performance and things like that, you know. And I'm young. I'm 25 years old, so I'm definitely, you know, still learning and things like that. And I'm just happy to be in the position I am right now. I'm thankful for my team to be able to say this guy should be pay-per-view and things like that. So far as my give back to them, I want to put on a great performance. I want to make weight the first time and things like that.
Your top five fighters in the history.
I want to say Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Nice.
Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Pernell Whitaker.
Man, Sweet Pea.
And Aaron Pryor.
Ooh. Man, hey, okay. Aaron like Pryor had that movement, boy. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Couldn't catch him.
Yeah, for sure.
When it's all said and done, what do you want them, when you're done with the sport of boxing, what do you want them to remember most about you?
I want to be one of them greats. But I wanna have an impact where as though something like change, something like, not like Floyd, but I wanna change it as far as, I wanna have a great impact on the sport, like be great, be one of the greatest, but I also wanna be able to, you know, live outside, after boxing. You know, I wanna be able to be that person, like, I don't wanna be banged up after a fight or after my career and things like that. I want to be able to get out successful. I want to be able to retire young. And even if I retire young or come back, I want to be able to, you know, come back on when I want to and not when, because I don't have enough money and things like that, because I have a family. I have my own life outside of boxing. So I always want to be looked at one of them guys that, you know, that's took care of himself. Just be one of the greats in the sport and outside the sport.
Gervonta Davis, man, we appreciate your time. Good luck. Halloween night, October 31st, San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo Dome. If you need SA protection, Jack is only a call away.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, good luck,
sure.
Bro. No doubt. We are big fans, man. Good luck the rest of the way, man. We appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you, bro.
That's a wrap. All the Smoke, Season 2, Tank Davis. Little talk to us before his big fight coming up on Halloween. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
TV taught me how to dream. It was a life jacket. I don't think you can be an artist and not touch people.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.